I invite you to look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4, a passage of scripture that's been recited morning and evening by people for over 3,000 years, a passage of scripture that has for you and for me, for us this morning, instruction. They are words of instruction that are also an invitation to respond. So as these words are read, see them as something that gives you insight and also gives you an opportunity to say yes to God in a deeper and more profound way. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. These words were penned by Moses. It was towards the end of his life. It was right before the people of Israel would cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. It was after 40 years of them wandering in the wilderness. It was after 40 years of the generation that was led out of Egypt, out of slavery, the generation that had seen all the miracles, that had seen the provision of God with water from a rock and bread from heaven. After that generation had heard God's promises and heard His invitation and seen His promise, and after they had said, no, we don't trust you, God. We want to go back to Egypt. That whole generation died off. And here is Moses standing 40 years later with a whole new generation. And he's calling to them and saying, will you follow God? Will you trust God? Will you obey God? Will you step out in faith? He's inviting them to hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. So, confirmants, I invite you, hear and love. Hear and love the Lord your God. That word hear in Hebrew is Shema. This prayer is called a Shema. The word is more than just let sound waves vibrate off your eardrums. The word means let the reality of God move inside of you and cause a response. When you truly hear from God, it changes you on the inside. It's no longer something that you can ignore and something you can push away. You're not to be like the generation that refused and wandered and lost out. You're to be people who hear and respond and say, yes, I'm stepping into what God has for me. It's a hear and a respond. It's a hear and obey. It's a trusting what you've heard. And it's the thing that changes you as God activates it on the inside of you. Shema. Shema. Now, how many of you have ears? Go ahead, reach up. Check it out. Girls, too. You can do this. Yeah, you got it. Okay. Now, how many of them work? The prophets. After the wandering was done and after the people had moved into the land of Israel, the prophets had to remind the people again. Jeremiah says of the people, he says, they have ears, but they do not hear. They have ears, but they do not hear. Some people don't hear. Now, I've noticed there are times when I don't hear as well as I think I used to. Lisa points this out to me once in a while. Maybe it's selective hearing, I don't think so. Couldn't be that. But I have noticed that some people, as the years move on and the exposure to the noises of the world accumulate, that their sense of physical hearing is not as acute, it's no longer as effective. And some of you maybe have hearing aids, wonderful things. But what we need even more than a physical hearing aid is a spiritual hearing aid. The Word of God invites us to hear, not just to let it vibrate around, but to go deep inside and cause a response of faith. hear. It means to focus on, to perceive, and then be changed by, to move forward in faith based upon what you have heard, to respond to it, to say yes to it. Shema, Shema. Listen, hear, obey. Do what God has called you to do. It says, "Hear, O Israel." Israel is the name for that Jacob. It's the name that was given to Jacob after his encounter with God. It's a name that implies not one who is a deceiver, but one who has encountered God and been overcome by God. Sometimes it's referred to as the one who wrestles with God, but the emphasis is not on Jacob wrestling with God, but with God grabbing a hold of Jacob. So there's encounter. When you say Israel, it's a person who has had an experience with God. Israel is used in a few different ways. The descendants of Israel are called Israel. The nation is called Israel. But the Bible uses that term Israel to refer to those that are the true followers of God. So when you see this prayer, hear this prayer, and it says, "Hear, O Israel," it's really saying, "Hear, O children of God. Hear, O followers of God." And so we can incorporate this into our own beliefs and our own practice. We are Israel in that sense. We are the ones who encounter God, wrestle with God, are overcome by God. You are Israel, those who have experienced God, and invites you, "Hear, O Israel." Then it says, "The Lord is our God." The word there is what we would pronounce as Yahweh. The Lord is our God. And God is one. Or maybe more accurately, since it says Yahweh one in Hebrew, it's saying Yahweh only. Yahweh the one. Yahweh alone. Yahweh is the one that we have been encountered by. Yahweh is the one who has done something in us. Yahweh is the only God we have. And as his children of Israel are launched into the promised land and being instructed on how to live out their lives now, they had to affirm that Yahweh alone is our God. Young people have many temptations, many challenges. I warned you a couple weeks ago, and I warn you again today, that as you stand up publicly to say, "I'm going to follow Christ," Satan's going to say, "Well, let's see if they really will." Isn't that encouraging to you? You're going to enter a time of testing. How do you respond to that warning? I encourage you to be people who say, "God is my God and Him alone. Only the true God of Israel. Only the true God of creation. Only the one who is the maker of all. Only the one who is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died in my place. Only the Holy Spirit is the one who fills me and sanctifies me and makes me able to respond in truth to Christ's truth. Him alone will I worship. Him alone will I follow." Oh, the world has its glitz and its glare and its things that try to look attractive to us. But God and God alone can meet your needs and lead you into eternal life. What should we do with this God? The verse goes on to say our response is to love Yahweh. Love Him. Love Him. Notice it didn't say obey, serve, bow your knee, grovel before Him, work out your salvation. It didn't emphasize those things at all. It says love Him. God is the God of love, and He invites you into a love response. He invites you to say, "Yes, God, You are wonderful, therefore I adore You." My daughter and son-in-law brought this fluffy little fur ball to my house for the first time. Like 12 weeks old or so. I don't know what kind of thing it is. It kind of looks like a cat, but doesn't act like a cat. And you know what's so interesting? My daughter and son-in-law, they get down on the ground and they dote on this little thing. You would think they love it. They even let it in the house, a dog in the house. Unheard of. We were made to be people who love. God made us in His image. God, the God of love, made us to be people who love. And as much as we can love a little thing that sometimes called a dog, we're called to love Him. Reverse the order. Not dog, but God. Maybe you're dyslexic this morning. Worship God. Love God. He gives us dogs, and He gives us family. He gives us friends. He gives us people to share that love. But may all that love point us to a God who loves us and prompt a response inside of us of love. Love Him with all you've got. Your heart, your the word in English is soul, but the Hebrew word is nephesh. Love Him with all your nephesh. Your nephesh is your throat. Your nephesh is that part of you through which everything breathes out and breathes in. Love Him with your very existence. Love Him not just with your heart, which in Hebrew included the mind, the thinking, the deciding, the feeling, the emotions. Love Him not with that. Love Him with your nephesh, the part of you through which everything flows and really is your very existence. And love Him with that last thing. In English, it's called strength, but in Hebrew, it's mo'od. It's more of this sense of love Him greatly. It's an adverb. Not just love Him a little. Love Him to the max. Love Him exceedingly. Love Him with everything you've got. Heart, soul, strength, everything you've got. Love the Lord your God and Him alone. The God who created you, the God who redeems you, the God who sanctifies you, your God, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate that You are a God of love. We thank You for what You've done in the confirmands. We thank You for what You've done in each one of us. We thank You that You are a God who created us in Your image to be people who respond to You. And so today we affirm, we hear, we listen and we obey. We affirm that You are God. Yahweh is God. There is no other. You're the one. The only one. And we will love You. We will love You with everything we've got. We will love You more than anything else in all of creation. We will love You. We will love You. We will love You forever. Because You have first loved us. And love is the fulfillment of the law. In Christ's holy name we pray.